Am.
This is it, what? Luchini pouring from the sky, let's get rich, what? The cheeky pasta sugar dime, can't quit.
You are tuning into the For Profit Podcast. I am your host, Haven B, here with my man, JD. JD, what up?
Hey, Haven, how we doing, my man? What a week, huh?
5P, bang, 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 let's go!
Right. You won, I didn't, but good job, man.
We're going to do a segment called Did James Follow His Own Advice?
That's a good one. That's a good one. I mean, it is what it is. Hey, at least everyone else got paid. I had a plenty good week, so I'm not even worried about it. The rest of it was wonderful. And we had real golf, and it was an excellent tournament. So, I mean, ultimately, there's absolutely nothing to be mad about.
Obviously, I think you had too many claws that day.
I was a lot of claws deep, no doubt.
We have a special guest on the pod today.
Hey.
The man, the myth, the legend, a guy I've come into contact with in Twitter. He's amazing. Mr. Kieran Stolart.
AKA?
Fairy Horse. What's going on, boys?
What's up, baby? Back from the dead. How we doing,
How we man? Doing? No complaints, man. Last week was amazing.
I think everyone had a nice week, so I'm excited to talk to you, brother.
Yeah, you too.
I did not know Barry was white for about a year.
I don't think anyone did.
They thought you were like Mexican or something?
I had Barry. My thing was Eric Barry talked to me like a horse puppet. Everyone thought that was me.
That's awesome. I love it, man. I love it. Oh, so you had a good week last week, Barry?
Burger got me almost out for the week. I had him 40-1 after round one.
Okay, nice.
Sunday was a bloodbath in the match. The matchups is the only thing I'm betting like real money on, but
for sure.
You hit a 40-1 that covers a lot.
Absolutely. The funny thing is on this damn podcast, I told everyone to bet Burger live. I literally was just like, bet him live. He will be like 30-40 after the first round. So you didn't listen, but you probably took the advice, but without taking the advice. So
he's been on some run.
Yeah, he's playing well.
You like went into all the detail about it. That was a funny part about it. You were like, he's like 6th, 7th, 10th. Like, look at his last 5 starts. Like, it's like, it's perfect.
Couldn't have been more excited, and I couldn't have been more drowning in claws probably. So it's my fault. It's okay. There's a lot of guys who hit me up on Twitter saying they made some money. That's all that matters, man. We do this for the people.
Never seen someone so happy to lose.
It's okay. Well, it's even worse because, like, my prodigal son, Colin Morikawa, who, I mean, that's, like, my guy, bro. Like, I bet him every week because he's, like, my favorite golfer. And the fucker misses a 4-footer for the win and then another one losing the play. So, amazing. It was a lot of slaps in the face, no doubt about that. But you know what? We move on. We had a good week. But that's in the past, so we got to get going. This is just as good of a field, so we got even more fun shit to talk about. So, I think we got to get going.
We got to finish our 2 disappointments from last week. Who was your biggest?
Oh, I whiffed on Xander, bro. Bad.
I whiffed on Webb.
Yeah, well, Webb too. I whiffed on Webb. Were you on Webb, Barry?
Yeah. I luckily pushed out. It was head-to-head against DJ. Brutal beat, to be honest. Not to be 5 minutes in complaining already, but on Friday, Webb was like hovering around cut line on his 16th hole. It was the 7th hole. He misses like a 6-footer to keep him alive for the cut and instantly misses a 3-inch tap in because he like rage quits on the round. So I pushed the.
What about when he makes eagle and you're like, holy shit, he's going to make the cut?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like bogey right after. You're like, Webb, bro, I tied Webb all week. I think he was a pretty popular pick for everyone. So we can get away with that one. We're still a little bit profit. So it's all good.
It was just, how could you not even make the cut?
You're coming out with all kinds of new shit this week, my man. I love it. That's awesome.
Oh, my God.
I know, that was bad. But Hey, you win some, you lose some. You can't get them all right. Definitely Webb and Xander are my two biggest misses.
Yeah, so, you know, I guess you're gonna have some whiffs. I guess, you know, that's why you kind of allocate your funds correctly. So, you know, obviously you have everybody that you like and you have everybody that you don't like, and just kind of don't go overboard on, you know, the guys you don't like.
Absolutely. Well, I think we should jump in at Colonial. I'm ready to go. I actually have a question for Barry before. Can you obviously don't give away all the secrets, but you know, we know you from the baseball that was just absolutely insane 2 years ago. And, you know, it kind of, you know, I think you'll admit it changed your life a little bit. So
yeah.
I want to hear your golf process as much as you can divulge. You know, I'm fascinated by this stuff. So can you give us a little something as the what you're looking for, and maybe we can bounce some ideas off each other?
For sure. So my winning in any sport and any market, honestly, not even sports. I'd say the last like 18 months or 2 years, I've changed a lot in how I looked at things. Like, I got into betting in general, being like a super mathy nerd and building stuff from the, like, I didn't come into betting because I wanted to be a bettor. And like, I was a gambler my whole life and just loved action. Like, I came into this because it seemed like a lucrative way to capitalize on a skill set I had.
Humble brag.
I mean, I'm saying I wish I was less like that, because I like the flaw in that was basically I built all these systems, and I think probably the thing I've changed my mind on the most is like how my approach in almost every sport was, all right, I have this sick sophisticated model, like the best SVM, machine learning, whatever, and for every sport, whatever, and my number is like ground truth, like my number is God, without like having a regard for I'm not the only intelligent person in the world, if I even am intelligent, and there's many other people and entities shaping these lines, and they probably have an opinion, they're probably not betting all this money for fun, and so there's other ways to win, and there's other information that's valuable that I don't have that I have to respect. And so in golf and any sport, I've kind of come to like understand anything that shapes the market. So for everything, for sure, I think it's invaluable to have some process to create your own number. You don't have to come from like a super intricate data science background to do that. Like literally, if you just have a pen and paper and just say, take whatever, like any of the publicly available stuff, Sagarin, Datagolf, all this stuff. And just like some loose average that makes it, anything that's super naive, it can be the dumbest thing in the world, but just have some baseline number on guys of a guy's true skill level is valuable. And then there's all the other stuff with course fit and course history, which are two different things I think get lumped together incorrectly, current form, whatever. But I find by and large, at least in terms of my numbers, when I make numbers for guys, the bigger edge other than like is not accounting for course stuff or current form or anything. It's something it seems like a lot of pricing the skill level of golfers is based on a lot of strokes gained and stuff that everyone talks about. And so I've kind of angled to exploit things that I think are less than perfect with that. And I think my edge more so on my numbers just comes from who is a better golfer than the other is a disagreement that I have with the market, rather than I found some cool way to price the course in or the current form in.
And
sorry to ramble, but there's one more important thing, which is I say all that, I have a clever way to make a number. I think that's important. Information's like humongous, and you know, there's no injury report in golf. This is going to sound so stupid, but like I sent you guys for round two, Hubbard over Grillo, which by the way, this Hubbard's like a completely transformed golfer the last half year or so. But fading Grillo, he posted this story on his Instagram of like these blisters he got. Like that's not in the line. Maybe that's worth 5 cents or 10 cents. It might be worth 50. Who knows? It's something. It can't be nothing. So,
yeah, you know, unfortunately, he's calling just around a caddies,
whatever. There's information to get.
Yeah, I like that. So, I mean, in terms of, and I have a huge issue with strokes gained because there's a lot of flaws to it that like you're kind of saying, I mean, I think people just kind of take it as gospel. Whereas, I mean, you know, if you understand how the number is calculated, it's not difficult to figure out where the flaws lie. Would you be willing to just kind of give a little something as to, you know, what do you think are the biggest issues with strokes gained data?
Yeah, sure. I guess like quick 30 seconds for any listener who like just hears the word and doesn't actually know what it is. The most basic intro example is about the break-even putt on PGA Tour is about 8 feet. Mm-hmm. So you have an 8-foot putt and you make it, the average from there is basically 1.5 putt. Like no one's to be putting from 8 feet. Really. It's probably 1.5001 or something. But you make it, you just gained half a shot. You 2-putt it, you just lost half a shot.
Yeah.
Same thing, you go back to the fairway, say from 165 in the fairway, the average is whatever, 2.58. I don't know what the numbers are. You hit it to 8 feet. So now your expectation is 1.5. You just gained 0.08, whatever the numbers are.
Yeah.
Just zooming on the putting as one example.
Oh God.
That's assuming that all 8-footers are created equal. But there are certain, like it doesn't take a rocket science, like downhill 8-foot slider at Augusta. Yeah.
Just play golf a little bit, you'll find them.
Like 9 on the stint meter, Open yeah. Championship, no break putt. Those aren't equal.
No.
And not just that, but like there are courses where literally like people say Augusta is the perfect example. Like literally there are spots on the green where you would, like 16, you would rather be in that front left bunker than like way high right. Like that's a high 3-putt probability from way high right on 16 green right Augusta. And so penalty, like, there's like course management is a skill, I think, in my opinion. There's ways to quantify that. And there could be biases in strokes gained that are thinking guys who manage the course well and leave themselves uphill putts more often than others are better putters than they are vice versa. Is like one example. Like that's not my edge, but like that's one example of why strokes gained is not perfect.
I like it. That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, but again, it's a nice little basis. And my next question is, do you take in market information into your, like, do you help let the market help shape your numbers in terms of, you know, the sharp books opposed to the, you know, non-sharp books and maybe past closing them lines from, you know, weeks past?
For sure. That's like another huge thing I've learned the last 12, 18 months, even just like reading the screen. So, I mean, we can just use Nate, like the main, like, book that takes real big and like clearly has opinions is Chris.
Of course.
And they'll shade, like, you know, they're taking way higher limits than anyone else and shading like pretty aggressively. So like that opinion probably means a decent amount and should be respected. So whether it's, oh wow, it's high on Morikawa for 6 straight weeks, maybe I need to have I've shown value against that. Maybe I need to look at my number on Morikawa, for instance. Or maybe you notice like all the Chris matchups are shaded 20 cents to the course history guy versus the recent form guy and those types of matchups. So maybe I'm missing, you know.
Yeah.
You know, there's all kinds of stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Or if I strongly agree with the Chris line, they just went up. I have my Dom Best showing everyone else is like lagging 15 cents.
Grab
that's
it.
Gonna on it everywhere else before it moves to Chris's side. Because yeah, Chris is usually ahead of those moves. So
okay. Yeah. And so, I mean, and you'll take like that, almost that historical closing data and incorporate that into your numbers to a certain extent, or is it just something you're looking at?
That's more of an art. That's more of an art than a science. And like because I don't know, I've noticed also too, like a lot of the golf market is a good amount of them ping pong more than any other sport, I bet. Like a lot of times these matchups are what I just said. It's like a course history type guy against the recent form type guy. And the course history guys bet the course history guy, then the recent form guys come back and move it back 15 cents. And kind of like, so there's some of that. But yeah, like some are like clearly horrible numbers that you can learn from. If there's like a giant move that wins by a lot, then that's something you should probably look into and see if you find a trend when stuff like that.
I love it. I love it, man. Thank you. Haven, let's break down Harbortown. What do you think?
Got one question for him.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I've been trying to limit plays based on the edge that I see. And I think James is more on the line of if I see an edge, I go for it. I just wanted to hear your stance on it.
Yeah. If you're confident you have an edge, I think you should bet any game that remotely has one. Especially if you have the ability to bet on credit and it's not like an issue to like post up all these units to play them, is number one, aside from the obvious, is ROI doesn't really mean shit. Like all of us just want the most units possible. Like who cares the ROI as long as it's above zero. But B, like more important than that, or maybe as important as that, is betting a higher volume of games will smooth returns. So like the smaller number of games you bet, even if the ROI is going to be better and the edge on all of them is higher, there's more variance over a short-term sample of games that, you know, if I only bet 20 bets, I easily could go 5-15 versus if I bet 100, I'm way more likely to be 60-40 or whatever I think my rate is.
I think I knew the answer to that. I just wanted to hear
it. And I think it's important to note that Haven, I mean, most of my card does get ran through credit shops. And so that's super lucky that I have a reliable credit guy who, yeah. I mean, he bets what I bet. So, and my stakes are not nearly what Barry does, or you know, I'm not a huge bettor by any means. So he can take a hit, and he can easily. That's what he does. So I think it's interesting you know that. Maybe that's why I've been willing to have such huge cards, because it's super easy for me to get money down, because I have like two or three credit outs that are super reliable.
Yeah, you should see a college football Saturday when they overlap with college basketball.
Oh my god!
With half times, first halves, totals, everything. Like sometimes we've got underdog bet the money line too. Like there's like 100 bets on Saturday. They overlap.
I love it. That was a good question, Aiden.
Here we go. Moving on to the RBC Heritage Classic. Harbortown Golf Course, Hilton Head, South Carolina. A wonderful 7,099 yards. Coming to us, par 71, Pete Dye, known as the PGA's Closet Corridor.
Closet Corridor. I didn't hear that one.
Made it up.
It's probably I love it. It really is. That's a great one. I love that shit.
The tightest track on tour.
Yeah.
Who was the guy? Was it like Matt Kuchar Central?
Oh, I mean, my boy CT Pan hits it 260 off the tee. He won last year. So, and go Dogs, by the way.
Luke Donald's top five. Like,
yeah.
All the course history guys will love Luke Donald.
Yeah, this is a course history machine right here.
Amazing track record here. And Brian Gates, 27 under here. It was pretty cool.
Hold on. We got to talk about that. Because this course every year, it's a pretty damn hard track. Like, honestly, after Riv and Memorial, it's probably the third or fourth hardest non-major of the year. Yeah. So it gets super packed at the top, and like I think five of the last 10 years has been a playoff.
Yep.
The 2009 Brian Gay win, I think it was 2009, might have been 2010, is the last 10 shot victory on tour. Like, that's crazy given how, like,
I can't believe it is. I can't believe Brian Gay beat someone by 10 strokes. That's absolutely insane to me.
This course, Brian Gay was
playing. He's still on Pluto right now.
All right, he still has his card from this thing somehow.
Brian Gay was
he's in the field.
I mean, he must have gained 20 strokes putting.
Has anybody checked the weather
yet? What's that? His number?
Has anybody checked the weather yet?
Oh, you know what? I actually did. Yeah, and it just like last week, honestly, it looks like it's going to be pretty chill. I see 10 mile an hour, and, you know, because, you know, similar to Colonial, it plays how the weather will dictate. So I'm looking at another kind of a low, you know, these guys are going to go, I'm thinking 15, 16, 17. Be honest with you, because there's plenty of that in the history of this course when there's no weather.
Sunday got hairy. Oh, ease up. Like, everybody was saying, oh, it's going to be nice, and Sunday got a little hairy. It got a little hairy.
So, Barry, how much of a course breakdown are you factoring in your model and in your candy capping of an event?
Yeah, 20. It matters. Grass type matters. I think the showing like the driving distance in the history here and of winners here and of top 10 and top fives and strokes gained off the tee can be taken a little too far given the field. Like, we've never had a field this stacked remotely ever on this course. And so outside of DJ, like, a lot of bombers don't play here, and DJ's just here from RBC.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think people get tricked into like fade bombers on tracks like this rather than maybe you should think of, like, it's potentially advantageous for guys who can't compete at some other ones, but by no means does this course rule out guys who hit it far. Like, yeah.
I mean, that was a common narrative last week too, right? Like, everyone's like, oh, Colonial tight, fade
bombers. Last week's a horrible example, man, because
Bryson changed the whole fucking golf course.
It doesn't even matter. It's the same shit with Mexico. Like, they talk about, oh, it's this tight tree line. It's like this tight corridors on Mexico. Then DJ goes and wins by like eight. Rory's like five shots out of third, too, because you just hit it over all the trees. Like, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
And I think it's important to note that the sight lines here are way different than Colonials, right? Where, like, when we say sight lines, it means your vision from the landing area to from the tee box to the landing area, right? It's a lot more difficult to bust those corners out here, wouldn't you agree?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like,
you gotta be a lot more precise. Second shots too. Second shots probably more. Like, there's fairways on this course where you'd rather be right or left rough than middle of the fairway for some pins. Like, not nine's hectic if they hide a pin on either side.
For sure.
8, 12, 13, there's some crazy holes.
And you're going to see, this is it's the lowest amount of greens hit on tour during the year. And secondly, it's also the shortest driving distance on tour all year, right? So, I mean, you're really looking at like a second shot scrambler's course, right?
Mm-hmm. And putter, I mean, these greens are pure. The whole course is like Augusta level pure. Like, it's crazy. The bunkers too, like every grain of sand, they get every blade of grass perfect here.
So we got Bermuda. So we're moving from, you know, we were at POA all year, then the pandemic hit, and then we had a little bent, which is beautiful, and now we're on POA, we're on Bermuda, which I fucking hate. I hate Bermuda with a passion. I also grew up on playing golf on the West Coast, so that's probably why there's a little bit less Bermuda out here. But
hater,
what's that?
Hater.
I'm a hater. It's just grainy. It's like, and it's like another extra read you have to make. And it's like, I don't know. If I hit a good putt, I want to go in.
Problem to have in the world. Ugh, grainy.
It's just grainy grass, bud.
Oh, my God. That's one of the problems. Oh, grainy grains.
It's just too grainy, man. It's too grainy. But you will have your Bermuda special.
That's a skill.
Like, it really is. And so, like, you get, like, a guy like – and I think the best example is Brooks, bro. Like, his putting numbers on Bermuda are crazy compared to every other surface.
New segment. New segment.
Oh, we got a new segment? Okay, let's go.
The Bryson train.
What is that for? What is
that? All aboard the Bryson train, baby.
I love it. So what are we looking for here, Haven? What kind of guys are we looking for?
Well, I know that Mr. Berry decided that, like he said, don't knock off the bombers here. If the bomber is also a good iron player, then it's fine. But
okay.
Factors of the fact of the matter is a lot of bombers are not good iron. So that's this is a course where I noticed the par threes eat up people. They're coming down the stretch. Like, those par threes are just like,
there's a lot of guys rinse it on, I think it's 14 coming down at the end.
Yeah. 14 is the hardest hole on the golf course.
I'm sorry, 17. They mess up 17 and
17 is not, 14 is the hardest hole on the course, plays number one. And then 17 is plays number nine, and it's 140 yards, but it is devilish.
Yeah,
that's so where the wind hits him the hardest.
I'm looking for mainly solid course management guys.
Okay.
I don't really know if you can take corners here like they were doing at Colonial.
I don't think so. Well, we'll see.
Kind of hanging. I don't know. They kind of hang over here.
Yeah.
Hard to take.
Oh yeah.
Corners here, and you can go through. So, like, you know, it's a control. Like, I don't know. I'm still going for a control, good, solid iron play. I'm going through the people I remember playing well here: Brian Gay, Boo Weekly, Kuchar, just like all these guys who, you know, who just plotted around and just positioned themselves on the correct side of fairways to get the most accessible shot into the green.
And so I'm going to push back a little bit, though, on that. And I'll disagree with you. But I think there's also a world where this golf course has never seen this caliber of player.
Yeah, okay.
And so, you know, Colonial, I was thinking the same thing to a certain extent. Then all of a sudden, you know, you got Bryson out here just pinning fucking bombs all over the golf course. So I don't think he can do that here. But I didn't necessarily think he could do it at Colonial either, right? So, you know, I'm wondering if all this stuff is going to hold true when we get 16 of the top 20 players in the world instead of two.
That was all over Bryson last week.
Oh, I love Bryson, but, you know. And the other thing is like, you know, so we're talking about bombers, right? So, like, John Rahm, who is an awful iron – well, not awful iron player, poor iron player, is probably not a guy we're going to be looking at, right?
I think your expectations are just high on him.
Yeah, maybe so.
You expect him to be a better Iron player.
Awful strong.
I mean, yeah, Awful's really strong. He's like an average, maybe a little above. I don't know.
Yeah, it's good. Awful's a little strong. Yeah.
Yeah, awful strong. He's awful in terms of elite golfers. How about that?
Yeah, for his world ranking.
Yeah. Yeah. But, no, okay, so we're looking for guys who are going to hit the fairway and are going to pound greens thereafter. But these greens are really difficult to hit, right?
Yeah. Hey, who cares? Like, Kieran, do you factor in who cares right now? That's what we tried to factor in last week.
There's, like, super marginal – like – I think Cantlay 3 years ago, he had like an 8 tournament stretch where you had to like basically average a top 10 to like maintain stats for the next year. Like stuff like that where like they're grinding over any possible putt. Hovland end of last year, similar situation, like career motivations like that. Yeah. But it's really hard, like only outlier situations like that where I'm positive it can only be worth 5-10 cents, whatever, in their direction.
Is Rory here?
Trying to guess the other stuff is pretty hard.
Is Rory here this week?
Yeah, he's here.
Yeah.
Well, he looked. Oof, what was that?
You know, here's the funny thing. The top of the market last week, we had Rory, JT, Rahm, and Bryson. And the top three I mentioned all had they had one issue in their game that was more or less an anomaly compared to them the last, you know, year or so. JT lost strokes off the tee. Rory only didn't even gain a single stroke on approach. And Rahm lost 4 strokes putting, which is like mind-boggling to me. In 2 rounds. Like, that's so bad. And he is so good. And Bryson really was the only one who played like the top of the market guys should. So, you know, I could see that wholeheartedly flipping and those guys actually doing the things they're good at well now that they're, you know, they're back in the swing. And even with that said, like Rory and JT – even missing those two important aspects of their game, they were still playing well. Like, it wasn't like they were shitting the bed. I mean, they were in the hunt the final day. They played like shit, but they were still there. So I chalk a lot of that up to rust. And, you know, and again, Bryson played amazing, so a lot of guys are bumping Bryson up. I'm not quite there yet. I won't be on this week. But, you know, I think those guys are definitely the top four right now. And, you know, then you got the Xander Morikawas, which we'll get into. But I agree with you that Rory played bad, but I think that's kind of more of an anomaly than something we could take from.
Man, I'm really trying not to put too much into, you know, bad rounds, but man, it just looked bad, and he looked like whatever. Like, I got 200, man. I tell you what, man, it's something else when you got 200 mil in the bank. I really want to go, you know, bang 2 buckets of balls right now. Like, for what?
No, you're right.
You know what I'm saying? It's happened. So, all right, first segment. New segment.
Golf us, we love. Golf us, we love. Golf us, we love. Golf us, we love. Yeah, yeah.
This is Golfers We Love. I see. You got to run these by me. I've never heard this before.
That's right. Golfers We Love. Coming right up. So we'll let our guests kick it off.
Well, how about this? Why don't we go through the market real quick? And let's just kind of do how we normally do it and see if anything. Let's go with the first 6 guys. Barry, tell me if any of these guys, I'm going off bookmakers' numbers. Rory, Bryson, just JT, Rahm, Xander, and then my son, Morikawa, who, oh, man. never been so disappointed in my life.
For me, all are moderately well-priced, like Chris. It's kind of unfortunate seeing – I mean, all of them, honestly, but especially Bryson. I thought we'd be getting good, but that's like clearly evident. We're not going to get much equity anymore. Yeah.
And that was our last chance to get Morikawa at a good number 2, wasn't it?
Yep.
You had a 5-footer, bro. It was just inside right, man. Just hit a little harder and make sure it goes in, bro.
You think Berger taking a minute to hit his before?
No, man, he's just a bad putter. You know that. There's no if, ands, or buts about it. Man. Oh, brutal. Okay, so I don't know. I don't have anyone up there. Haven, are you looking at any of those 6?
Negative, Ghost Rider.
Yeah, I mean, they're all pretty correctly priced. We got, yeah, I think they're, yeah. Okay, let's go to the next group. We have Decky. God damn, this guy hasn't won in a fucking decade, and they're like thinking he's actually still winnable. But Decky, Rose, Spieth, Reed, Webb, and Sungjae. I have a lot of bets here. So I have a lot of bets in this great range. What are you looking at here, Barry?
I played Webb. 30.
Okay. Bet 30.
Yeah. I this is like more just no specifics about the tournament or anything, just skill level. It's a bad number. But yeah, the course only helps him. And yeah, I mean, he kind of was really good on Friday. Like, I'm not concerned that anything happened in the last 3 months that materially changed him as a golfer. Like, Thursday was a bad round of golf and nothing but that to me. I'm not overreacting to that.
Yeah, doesn't Webb have like 13 kids? Like, he's probably really busy there and all this shit, wasn't he? Like, I think he has a lot of children. I don't know why. He's like
on Rivers. The Philip Rivers schedule.
Yeah, I think he's like your boy, Philip Rivers. Yeah. But yeah, we could talk about Tyrod Taylor on a different podcast. But so yeah, Webb, I got Rose at 30 a little earlier. I'd see that's gone down. I love this group, really. I bet Rose, Webb, Reed, and Sungjae. This is just a great spot for these guys. And I love Reed's short game, considering, you know, the lack of greens being hit. His up and down game is spectacular. Rose obviously had the hottest putter ever and had over a whole home week striking it, but that can flip real quick. And Sungjae is just solid. So I like all four of those guys. Haven, you got anything there?
Before we – I mean, I'm going to get to it. But man, let's give ourselves a little pat on the back for what we handicapped last week. I mean, dude, we had the leaderboard surrounded.
We did.
We had fading like one – basically like one guy we didn't want to win. Like, you know what I'm saying? If you think about it.
It was good.
Basically Xander, right?
Xander would have sucked. Yes, he was it. Kokrak made a weird little run that no one really believed in, so that was fine.
He gave away the tournament here. Did you remember?
Oh, that fucking chip! I had him. Fuck, that's here. Oh my god, that's brutal. I forgot about that. He couldn't get up and down from the fucking front of the green.
Guess who doesn't? The golf nerd.
Oh yeah, you're the best with that shit. That's right, dude. I had him here. This idiot just has to get up and down. You should just took a putter out. Like, honest to god, truth.
You can do that a lot here. There's a lot around the greens. There's a lot. It's like tightly mowed fairway. It's not
this
like
this dude takes a fucking putter like from the tightest lie. It's like he's hitting off a fucking cart path, and he just he literally hits it to like 40 feet. It's and all you have to do is get up and down to go. I think it was a playoff, right? Oh man, I don't know that
shit. I'm here. I remember all this ridiculousness. All right, from this, yeah, everything kind of starts here. I was already on Rose. I was already on Webb. I'm still riding that. Definitely on Sungjae. God, dude, I think Sungjae's gonna pop. He played exactly where I wanted him to play last week.
Just hanging out.
Hanging out with the top 20, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It was perfect. Exactly what I wanted. Nobody like God, you know, he kind of just meandered through and just
nothing special. Just hung out.
Perfect spot for me. Is Gary here yet or no?
No, we're gonna get to Gary. Don't you worry, Barry. What do you make Spieth?
Not close to this number. I would
okay, we're on the same page there. Gained like 10 strokes putting last week. The sad part is this is a perfect spot for him too because he doesn't have to hit driver off the tee.
Yeah, but the shit of the shit here, like at Colonial, cool. There's really no mega miss other than the tee shot on five.
Yeah,
here a mega miss. There's so much water, like a lot more doubles here.
So will you be – I mean, I will absolutely be looking to fade him in a head-to-head, especially if he's with any of these guys he's priced with. That's a fucking no-brainer.
Oh, he is. You know he is because he played well last week.
Dude, they know, though, bro.
They know what? They know.
They won't give a shit. They gave us Rose, who was like 45 last week and hadn't played a decent round of golf in like a year.
He's got TaylorMade back in the bag.
Son. I love Rose. I bet him hard. But what I'm saying is, it's like they're not going to give us a head-to-head with Webb or Reed. Are you kidding me?
That was a sweat, by the way. Whoa, it was a sweat.
I don't. Do you have any head-to-heads yet, Barry?
Marcus not mature enough yet.
Okay.
Yeah, I will say like if when we get.
I'm talking about matchups. Like, you have matchups.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay. But I can't really get. We're recording this Monday night. We can't really play those yet. But. Just for anyone listening, I would not blindly take anyone I say I like in an outright in a matchup necessarily. A, because you don't know what I think of the other guy, but B, the projection's a little different for both. Like you're playing more for guys who have a pretty different mean and median outcome. Yeah. With like a really different, like a really wide, like right skewed distribution of outcomes for outrights.
For sure. So you're looking for, I mean, outrights, you're looking for high ceiling guys, head to heads, just generally.
Effectively, yeah.
Head to heads, your high floor guys are a little more appealing, which is why Morikawa is like the perfect head to head guy, because he just.
It's kind of oversimplifying it. Like, there's more.
We don't have a bunch. We don't have computer engineers around our listeners. Okay, so. No, I'm just kidding. We appreciate it. But no, that makes total sense. And you're right, because, I mean, there are plenty of head-to-heads that I'll bet that I will never take those guys outright. Or, excuse me, outrights that I'll bet that I wouldn't take them head-to-head again, like you're saying. You don't know who they're against, but more importantly, like you said, their distribution could be all over the place. But some of it is winning, whereas a lot of it is, like, missing cuts, right? So,
yeah.
Perfect. I love it. Anything else in that group, my man?
I know what we can do. So when you go through the groups, we'll just rank your favorite and your worst.
Cool.
How about that?
Yeah, let's get this next one. I love that. All right, so we got DJ at 40, which is like eye popping. If you think, I mean, DJ at 40, like, dude, this guy needs to get back on the
Coke diet.
Berger, defending champ. We got him 39, Koepka 39, Kuchar 40, Woodlands 36, and Grace at 50. And again, these are all bookmakers' numbers, so obviously they vary widely. What do we have there, Barry?
Best by value or best by just my raw number without looking at the line?
I like the raw number, personally.
Raw number, yeah. Yep.
Woodland.
Cool.
Not
that's a bet for me. I got him a little better than 36. I think it was like 39. But, yeah, that's a bet for me. I wholeheartedly agree. What are you doing with Berger? Because he's going to pop in your model again.
Yeah. He's high. Neither are bets for me, but they're too clear above the other four you just listed.
Yeah, those guys are – oh, man, Brooks. And what the books are going to do, I guarantee you, they're just going to give us a Brooks DJ head-to-head so we can't pick on either of them. They're just going to be like, oh, screw you guys.
I'll take DJ.
You're going to take Brooks over DJ?
I will wholeheartedly take Brooks.
Okay, well, that, you're probably going to have the opportunity. I don't necessarily disagree
with that. I saw Pinnacle put openers up. I think you have to lay like minus 15 for Brooks or something.
Okay.
Yeah, I hope it's like 10. But I see what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's 15, 10. That's fun. Kuchar hasn't shown shit in a long time. So I get he's going to be the course history darling, though, right?
How could you even make the cut?
He's missing the cut?
Well, last week.
Yeah, I know. He couldn't even make the cut. He's going to be the course history darling, though. That has to be propping up his number.
Yeah. I tell you what, people, the books aren't respecting him. And Kuchar is not the guy we envision in our head. You know what I'm saying? Like, we think, oh, he's an automatic top 10. He's an ATM machine. And go look at his record. He's
bad.
Middling professional at the moment.
For sure. And he's like a complete piece of shit, too. So, you know, put all that shit together. And yeah, I mean, he's a miscut. What's that?
Betting on karma now?
No, I mean, it's
I love
it's,
it, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not betting on the fact he's a piece of shit, but it's really nice to fade pieces of shit, you know? His only good performance, he gained almost 10 strokes putting at the Genesis, which is just like completely insane. So, I mean, other than that, he's just been meh, nothing exciting for a while. I don't see why. I mean, again, this is your course history guy for sure, but I don't want anything to do with that guy. Grace is another course history guy, right? Isn't he? He almost won here one year, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he played well last
5 years ago.
Two. I mean, is this really a guy who's reasonable to win this thing at 50-1?
At the conditions, like there's been three or four years in the last five that it has been really windy.
Okay. And that's good for him, right?
Bad weather. Grace, it was really windy. That year Graham Dillette was winning.
You know. These guys have no fucking chance this week. It's so funny. Graham Dillette.
No, he was leading the third round. It's really windy, and I just remember, you know what I'm saying? Just remember, like, you know, if the conditions were, like, benign.
No. What I'm saying is, like, this is the kind of golf course we're talking about that has never seen golfers like this at it. So we're talking about, like, Graham Dillette competing somewhere. Like, that's insane.
Graham Dillette competed at quite a high level. He just
– okay, here we go. No, I'm just kidding. I know you're right. He's playing well, and he's playing this week because it's Canada's shit, right? Isn't he from Canada?
I don't know, but you know, his back's still messed up. So I don't know if he's even healthy anymore.
You're failing as a golf nerd, man, not to bring the story up with the I think he's the guy who had protein powder like explode in his golf bag and he had to like redo his irons the week of the Open.
What?
Like 5 years ago or something. Something crazy like that.
I don't even know. Well, if you know something Haven doesn't, you that's impressive, man.
Golf's the sport I like love the most, I'd say.
Well, that's good. I love it. We're good to have you on here then. Okay, let's go to the next one. This is an interesting group because we're looking at a bunch of guys who are not used to these numbers, right? We have Fowler at 55, Hatton at 50, Ooh. Finau at 50. Scottie Scheffler, coming off a fucking absolutely insane number last week, is back down to 55.
From what? Why? Why?
Was he like 37 or some shit? I remember. That was a White Claw-driven absolute rant.
He was this number at Chris, but yeah, the rest of the market, I'm down to 30s.
Oh, my God. I lost it. I thought I was going to fucking overheat. Fitzpatrick at 53 and Anser at 60. Finau's finally at 50, like a reasonable number for this dude. Like, and even that might not be reasonable, but
what?
I mean, 50 is going to give us a better top 20, top 10.
Wow. Oh, my God. He's coming around, guys. Coming around.
You know, I love Finau at 50. You know, I don't love him at 25 when he can't win fucking shit. Like, that's what I don't like him at. So,
Barry, he was good on the weekend last week, but he kind of faked it around Thursday, Friday. He only made the cut, I think, by the number one, and he had, like, four putts from off the green that went in. Like, pretty crazy Thursday, Friday luck to get there. He balled on the weekend, though.
All right. And he lost strokes on approach, which that's not really his game either. So, yeah. I mean, look, I'm not saying he's going to win ever because, in my opinion, he'll just never win until he does. Like, honest to God truth. He's one of those guys that's like I hate on every week because people bet him and it's like just go fucking burn your money because the dude is not winning. But I mean, if we're gonna get a 3-1 top 20, even we're not gonna take that
all day.
Okay, there we go. Now we're talking. Do any of these guys pop to you, Barry?
None to bet. Hatton's the best.
Yeah, I've Hatton as the best as well. And then you know, I couldn't help myself. I got on. Scheffler's number has moved. What did I bet him? I bet him at 66, and it's already down. What the fuck? Okay, what is the deal with Scheffler? What is going on?
He's probably a top 10, 12 ball striker in the world. He was the best ball striker in the field last week through Friday. Then he just kind of rage quit on Sunday. But
that guy just cannot make a fucking putt
out of the ball.
He does.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. He's not even that bad of a putter. He was just horrible last week. But yeah, like he 3-jacked from 7 feet on Thursday or Friday.
So he's lost strokes putting in just as many events as he's gained, which is not a good thing. Obviously, he's an amazing boss. But off the tee is insane. Yeah,
he's not like Ben Ahn or Grillo. He's not a good putter. But
nobody is Emiliano Grillo putting, okay?
Luke List won last week. We need to
– Oh, yeah. That's right. Hell yeah. Bring Luke List back.
That out. Luke List did what 90% of golf Twitter has been begging for on the wrong tour.
Well, if Luke List can do it, Scottie Scheffler can do it this week. I got 66. I already have $10 of CLV. Well, I guess it's not CLV until it closes, but still. It's at 55 now. I mean, at 66, is it anything for you, Barry?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Good talk. Make it, like close. 49-ish.
Cool.
And which Hatton is the best.
I missed it.
Oh, Hatton is the A player though out of the group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, his performance at the API was really fucking impressive, man. Like he was unbelievable striking golf ball. It was insane.
And this is probably super narrative driven and potentially worth not 1 cent, but he just showed, I think his first start was in Mexico after like a 3-month wrist injury layoff. Mm-hmm. So he just showed 3 months doesn't do anything this game.
Yeah. And he got 60 and gained 4 strokes on approach there. And then he proceeded his next time out to gain 7.5 on approach. And that will put you into contention every single week. So I bet Hatton at, I have Hatton at 55, which is still readily available, looks like. So Fitzpatrick, I'm finally off him. Finau. I mean, Ricky, 55 on Ricky, that's – have we ever seen that? When was the last time we saw 55 on Ricky?
When's the last time he won?
Last year in the desert. Right?
was that? 30? No, what is that?
Yeah, it's been over a year, that's for sure.
20 events ago?
Yeah, I mean, he backdoored into that shit. I don't think I remember, but he shot like 74-1, so he was like hailing sideways or some shit.
He was in the lead and gave it away and came back from what I remember.
Yeah, yep. And Grace. Yeah.
With Grace. I think he had like some crazy triple down the stretch.
Yeah. And didn't someone, did Grace?
He like had a drop that rolled back in the water and still counted as a sound or something.
So he's only backdooring wins at this point in his career, unfortunately. So I'm not touching him 55. I would bet a lot of guys do, though, I would think. I mean, just because everyone loves him.
I can wait.
He's in featured groups again this week.
Oh, and you know who's not? It's fucking Bryson DeChambeau. What a bunch of bullshit.
Unreal.
I only want to watch him. Though,
you see Brooks Reed and Berger are all together?
That's a good one.
I think it's probably the first time they talked since Koepka was saying he was building sandcastles in
Jesus, that's Albany. Brutal. I mean, I love CT Pan. Don't get me wrong. He's like, you know, go Dogs. But, bro, you don't belong in a future group, my man. I'm sorry. I don't care if you won last year. So, anyways, okay. We're going to move on. There's actually a little bit of love on for one guy down here that I want to talk about. So, we got Day at 80, which is insane. I think Jason Day's at 80.
What world do we live in?
That's going to be a bet for you. I guarantee it.
80-1.
Hovland 66, Kokrak 70, Kistner 60, Poston 73, and Shane Lowry, who somehow lost strokes putting last week, but he's one of the best putters in the world, at 80. A lot of Poston buzz out there. I'm not with it. Do you have anything there, Barry?
Super with it. I bet it.
You bet it? Shit.
Yeah.
Everyone.
He's going to do it again.
Yeah. So, without giving like a ton away, like, I feel comfortable doing some contextualization with like course fit and everything, mm-hmm. with just my understanding of the sport. Basically playing at like all the Sea Island guys, they never shut down for a day. So they've been playing like courses like this. I know that it's a Fazio, but like all these Pete Dye type courses where they're super penal and tight, same type of greens. It's like 3 hours from where he's from. Not that that's worth a penny, but like familiarity with the setup. What he did last year, when contextualized, means a lot to me. So I think it was like only three shots back. I think T6 last year, something in the range there. Mm-hmm. But when I look closer at it, it's more impressive. He did that with below his average putting performance, which is really his thing, putting. He's like pretty clearly a top 10 putter in the world, maybe five. And he did not have that performance and still T6 or whatever he did. Plus, that happened in a time of his season last year where I think he emceed the two before and two after. So it wasn't like he was playing good golf and still was around here. So I rewatched the event, and this could easily be worth nothing, but statistically had value on his number anyways, and could only like the other like non-computer factors.
So for me, the reason why I push back a little bit is just because I'm not sure he's a good enough iron player to win here. If you look at over his last, pull up any fucking sample you want, his best iron is he gained 3.5 of the Genesis, finishing 30th. Other than that was his win at the Wyndham last year, where he absolutely killed it with his irons, but. You know, we're going on.
Insane enough about that performance, by the way.
That was insane.
Only the second non-bogey 72-hole event since 1974.
Yeah, I mean, that was absolutely unbelievable. So, I mean, he clearly – and I always – and people who listen know, if you win once, I'm like, okay, you have it in you. I don't see in this kind of a field being able to – I mean, he's going to have to gain at least 4 or 5 strokes on approach to win, right? I just don't see where he's getting that from. And I guess that's why I'm off him. And I understand that. I definitely get the rest of that because it makes total sense. I almost discount course history. Like, I really just don't give a fuck about it. So that also is why I don't like it probably. But yeah, I guess
it's more the fit than the history.
Yeah,
Seeing how well he played it in his first start, because he did gain on approach, I think close to the threshold.
He gained 4.2.
He played the course strategically as you're supposed to, and honestly didn't make putts up to his standard. And still
he only gained 2.2 strokes putting. And like, if you just look over his last, 10 tournaments, he's gained 2.3, 2.4. So, I mean, you're right. He's a great putter. No doubt about that. I just wonder in a field like this, if he can actually, if he has the iron game to be able to play. And then we could take a perfect example, and maybe you're on this guy too, but I would rather have Corey Connors at a higher price personally. So I have Connors at 100 to 1. It's down to 76. Do you have anything on Connors?
Yep. I was with you.
Okay. So I get it. So we're not too far off, but so like if I'm looking at those numbers now, and obviously they're, I've already bet these and they're gone, but I'd rather have Connors at the same price. The rest of those guys, I'm going to bet Hovland. He's going to be a kind of guy I bet forever, I think, at anywhere around 66, just because I think his game's insane. Doesn't set up necessarily for him just because, you know, it takes a driver out of his hand here, but
he's road tripping these like few months. He
really?
Drove like 16 hours from Fort
Worth. He's like going like, he's like legitimately like a college kid.
There. Yeah.
That doesn't seem fun.
Pretty goofy. Like,
with who? Is he having like a crew or anything?
I think
like,
by himself. I think the caddy's flying out on the
trip. Playing fucking Halo in his hotel room after games too or what? So, okay. Haven, anything there for you? You got Kevin Kisner at 60. You might as well just ink him in, right?
Both of y'all are tripping. I'm not saying you're dumb, but.
It's the white class.
I'm vodka tonight, though.
Abraham, I am the answer. He's sitting there playing. I think he had a, what, top 10 last week? He kind of got in the mix and then kind of fell back. 61. Abraham answer.
Yeah, he finished 14th. I'm on answer, too, but I'm on answer, too.
He's an excellent player. I'm just waiting for him to just make that final jump over the hump, but man, I think this guy is a World President's Cup team member. I think this guy is going to be a multi-time winner on tour.
So we have a second at the Amex, and he hasn't missed a cut in fucking forever. So the guy is since the Shriners early in October. Yeah, I bet answer as well at 60. So I agree with you, man, wholeheartedly. And you have anything on answer, Barry?
Nothing bad.
Nothing to add. Cool. All right. So now we're getting into – we're going to go with a little bit of the long shots. I'm just going to – oh, Luke List is actually in the field. So he won. Now he's in here. Oh, shit. Wow. Look at that. So Corey Connors is a fucking absolute bet for me back there. It sounds like you're on board. What do you make Varner this week?
Love it.
That's your boy, dude. Like, 100? Like, what the fuck? You can't – 100? Did we watch him? I got my 125. Like, what are we even doing?
Look at check his strokes gain. Not just check his strokes gain tee to green. Harold Varner's like top 20 on tour for a while.
He's an awful fucking putter.
And
awful putter.
We got a whole bunch of them.
I got a whole bunch of them. So they might as well add another one. The dude gained almost six strokes on approach at the Charles Schwab. He was right there. He had a shitty Sunday. He just kind of fucking nailed it in. But
yeah,
very good. I mean, looks like an Ewok.
He walks like he's. Yeah.
His footwork's unreal too. Just during his swing, he like lifts his right foot up at impact.
He's got like a little old school kind of yeah. It's an interesting golf swing. I bet him. Fuck it. I mean, at 125 to one. I mean, what are we even talking about here? That's like no brainer.
On a little torso.
Do you have anything on Harold Varner, Barry? Of course.
No, I'm with you. I make it less.
Okay, love it. Other than that, I like Poulter here, the 90s. I don't think it's a winner. Joel Damon, I mean, is that guy as good of a ball striker as he is? Sooner or later, he's got to make some fucking putts and break through. I mean, went to UW, good dogs. I love Joel Damon. Anyone else down here? You have any long shots out there, Haven Brown?
Let's see here. Going down to the bottom. I mean, these are like top 20, top 10 possibilities. I'm going to bet Luke Donald blindly.
That's so bad.
Last time he was out, I think he like popped. Like,
oh, my God. I couldn't. I have to control F him. That's how fucking far down that my model is.
I guess Havlin fall down.
Hey, shit, he gained 7 strokes on approach at the Honda.
Thank you.
What the fuck?
And he popped.
And he doesn't have to hit driver because he hasn't gained strokes off the tee in 4 years.
In a lifetime, probably.
Oh, my God. How bad. Dude, I've never looked at this. Holy shit. The 2016 RBC Heritage. Look at that. He gained 0.6 strokes off the tee. He's gained twice since 2016. And then one, I'm not counting. He gained 0.1 at the Farmers. Holy shit. That's insane.
Farmers is crazy for him. It's a long one.
The game 0.1. How's he? Anyways, he's basically since, and obviously, you know, he's played a lot of events where they don't track it, but I'm just going to pretend like he never fucking – he didn't make him there either. I mean, why would he? 0.6 strokes off the tee at the Heritage in 2016. He hasn't gained a full stroke since. I wasn't even capping golf then. Oh, my God. Anyways, well, that's your boy. So, there you go. Ride or die.
Hold on.
Who else we got?
Who's down there? Oh,
Neiman.
I think I'm going to wait on Neiman. I just like – Brendan Todd – I just have to bet at 200-1.
What?
I know he didn't play very well. I mean, this is top 20. I mean, we're talking. You might get a ridiculous amount of top 20.
What happened?
How low can we go? We skipped over Homa, 150-1.
Yeah, that's.
That's his boy. That's his boy.
That's my guy. I bet Homa a lot.
He missed the cut on the number on 18th hole last week.
Fucking three jack, motherfucker. What are you doing, dude?
Well, his second shot was in a divot, like in between clubs, and he took less and was in like shit spot after that. But,
no, what are you talking about? His second shot in the front of the green.
Yeah, exactly. But he
putt? That's like I do. I'm asking for. I mean, maybe it was hard too, but I don't know. But yeah, the nice thing about Homa is he did absolutely nothing. He literally just was zeroed out. So, I mean, you know, it's not like he did anything bad. He's probably, you know, he could easily – he's a good putter. I love Holman. You know, he's a great podcast, so I like betting him. I'm not betting him this week, but I love Holman there. You have a little something on 150-1 on him?
I do have something.
Okay.
Prices for head-to-heads are up.
Oh, God, this is always fun.
I'm just giving you the – if you did want to wonder who is against somebody, I'm just telling you that
who do you have him with?
I'm just telling you, I got him up. So just let me. Who do you? Let me know. Reed is going.
I don't know who's Spieth with. That's all I care about.
Reed is going against
Rose,
and Rose is going against.
Wait, Rose Spieth again?
No.
Penny, yeah, it was like Rose minus 50 when I looked earlier. Yeah.
Reed
Spieth. I mean, they're taking like 250, but I think.
Okay, not even
a real number, but yeah.
I think it's a little early for that, Haven Brown.
I'm just telling you that I'm not –
because I have these stupid fucking 72-hole matches where you can bet ties, and I hate these fucking things.
Okay. Yeah, as far as the bottom, nothing too far down as far as the bottom of the sheet.
So do we think a bottom guy can actually win in a field with these kind of caliber players?
Oh, yes. The PGA Tour.
Man, it just doesn't happen all that often with this many good players. If you look at the
this seems like the place, man. Satoshi fucking Kodaira.
Oh, my God.
What the hell?
Seriously. Out of left fucking field, bro. Like, you're absolutely right. And maybe you're right because, I mean, even the best ball striker is going to miss these greens, right? So at some point, it turns into a bit of a putting contest.
Yeah, exactly.
Which brings in all kinds of fucking variants. So, you know. You might be right. Am I going to just throw away all the bad putters because of that? No, I'm going to bet all the bad putters like I do every week. So,
I don't know if this is an epiphany, but I seem to remember guys posting here. I mean, obviously, I don't think the final group wins a lot anyway, but I just seem to a lot of guys posting and congratulating already in the clubhouse. Am I wrong? Am I looking at it?
What do you mean?
Like somebody, you know, shooting like three groups behind the final group.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? And like the guys leading here don't usually fare well.
Yeah, isn't it like every leader has – every winner has come from like three behind or something going into the final day or some shit?
Yeah.
Like forever? I throw a lot of that shit out because this tournament's never seen these cowboy players. So.
No, but the tournament gets – the greens get baked out. They're all – and like, you know,
they're not gonna be like last week, that's for sure.
Yeah, because like and that's important to note, right? Like this is the one thing about Bermuda is different from Bent. If you don't water Bent, it just fucking dies. So they water it, they make sure it's not gonna, you know, Bermuda is like heat, fuck, it can take water without water for days. Like it doesn't give a shit. So I mean, that's important to note that they can bake this thing if they want to. You know, that's obviously a variable that we don't know, but yeah, if it gets hot and it gets hard, you're right. There could be some guys coming from behind on Sunday, and I think it's important to note that if we're going to look at first round leaders, because the course is going to just play easier in the morning. It just has to because of the conditions, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So I love it. I love it, man. Anything else we want to add, or I think, man, this is a lot of good information today.
We're gonna recap our segment.
Okay. I didn't take my Adderall this morning, so I'm a little hyper. Okay.
All right. So you gotta, everybody's gonna pick their six best.
Six?
Yeah, like a six pack.
Okay. Oh, I like six packs. We already used that one though.
Hold on. You said hold. We're gonna hold off on that.
Oh. So now we're going.
We're gonna use it in the correct place.
Perfect. Love it. Okay. My six. My favorite player is Gary Woodland. He led the. I didn't even get to talk about this guy actually. Led the field in strokes gained approach last week. Somehow lost strokes off the tee, which is just insane. He's gonna hit his little stinger wherever he wants, and as long as he gets a little bit of a putting edge, I like him. Connors, Hatton, M, Rose. Connors, Hatton, M, Rose, Gary. I need one more. Reed and Webb. So that's seven. Extra shot.
Are we doing that are still there? We might as well be helpful. We're doing the six of numbers that are still there.
Oh, well, that's true. Yeah.
You got to get your numbers where you get your numbers. This is
All right. Ignore numbers. If you got the best of it, Webb, Woodland, Hovland, Poston, Scheffler, Homa. Scott Piercy, if I get a sense.
We might have to have a side Connors. Oh, you probably won't want a Connors Poston bet, though, because you probably have them pretty similar. But.
All right. Webb, Rose, M, Hatton, answer, and I'm going to ride with you guys on Connors.
No, there we go. Man, Webb's getting – this worked out real well for everyone last week. But
he's so mushed.
Oh, my God. Everyone's back on the train. You'd think he'd be fine, but fucking A, man. He's back on the train.
I'm giving up, dog. I've seen it too many times. Hey, I guess we should check on that. I mean, you would know. What is Webb's track record after missing a cut, actually?
Gosh. I don't think it's happened in over a year.
He doesn't miss cuts. That's the problem. Yeah.
I could tell you, but the sample would be meaningless, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, the guy is just insane. I mean, he missed a cut to Valspar and got fifth at the Masters.
And so like I said, if he had like some horrific, like he couldn't find the club face, but Friday was a perfectly good round from him. He just had like the rage quit double where he like three putted from 6 feet. And then Thursday was just a one-off. I mean, I'm not going to change my number on him from Thursday.
No, I agree wholeheartedly. Boys, that was fun. Barry.
One last segment.
One last segment. Oh, shit.
Topics we hate, man.
Oh, hate?
Oh. We can't stand.
All right, so we've got to pick three golfers.
Okay.
That we're fading this week.
We disagree with the market.
You've got to take a stand on these three guys.
So they can't be like down the line. We're talking like up here somewhere.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
There, yeah.
Okay. I do not like John Rahm one bit this week. I think this is a terrible fit for him. Takes his biggest weapon away. He probably will putt well enough to make the cut in top 30, but he's not going to compete for a win.
All right.
What do you got, Barry? We'll go around the horn.
Ricky looked really lost ball striking, and with coaching change, there's like a material change that could make sense. Mathematically, it's not, but just if you want my personal opinion, I'll pick Ricky.
Is he getting more and more laid off with every new coach? Like, yeah. At this point, he's like baseball swinging that fucking thing. It's insane.
Well, then he reroutes it. Like, I don't like it.
Oh, it's disgusting. I agree with you. I am going to take a stand because this guy will get touted this week. I hate Matt Kuchar this week. Absolutely fucking hate him.
That's a good one.
Absolutely fucking hate him.
I think we're – I'm fading Matt Kuchar, and my initial one was I'm fading Jordan Spieth again.
Can't go wrong there.
Hey, when is – I don't know if Kieran's been doing this. When is the last time we lost a Spieth head-to-head?
Oh, God. I can go back and look. It's been a while.
It's
– Oh, AT&T, I probably – Oh, you know what? I didn't bet against
I don't think I have because – I can look too.
Maybe the St. Jude, WGC St. Jude, he finished 12th. I probably lost one there, I would imagine, because I absolutely faded him on that course.
A profitable wage. It's been fantastic.
Oh, I mean, it's, Yeah, you could just do that for the last 3 years and you're just a fucking professional.
Putting it out there. They keep putting them up against a quality golfer every week. You know.
Oh, they kind of stopped at the end of last year. They were just kind of figuring, like, it was like they took them off the fucking board a couple times. They're like, no, we're good.
All right. Next guy you're fading.
You know what? The next guy, I love the Fowler. I wish we had Kevin Na on the field. He WD'd because that was going to be a fucking drone strike because that guy was not finishing 36 holes. Jason Day at 80, it's really hard to fade, but I'd rather have anyone near or around him. The guy just seems just lost out there. Haven's going to bet him, by the way.
Yeah, man.
At 80. He is. I mean, that's just one example. I'll just say quickly, he is a good example of a right skewed distribution where he's like a better winner than head to head bet.
Absolutely. That's a perfect example because he will win all the fucking time.
I can wait.
Miss a lot of cuts.
I don't have to get there on 80. I am fading Xander.
I want to hear someone fade Morikawa. It can't be me because I'm his father. So that cannot be me, but someone, this is a classic. Come on, man. You know this. You go to a playoff. You won your action because his real win didn't really count. I mean, it counted, but it wasn't like what it was. Yeah. You expend a lot of energy, mental, physical. You get to the peak, and the way he lost. I mean, if it's anyone but the best iron player in the world, like we're auto fading him, right?
I'm fading that putting inside 3 feet. That's for damn.
No, what I'm saying is given those circumstances, if it was anyone but him, wouldn't we just be fading this just? As a normal, like, this is a kind of a thing that we do, right?
Gary, what is the track record of – hey, Barry's our new Siri. What's the track record of a guy next tournament after he misses
the – cut or a playoff.
A sub-five-footer to win a tournament? I'd have to get back to you. I mean, I fade all the, mentally weak-type narrative stuff typically. Like, I don't think that – there's probably some of that with Spieth, but I think there's like a large just material issue with his swing that's super inconsistent. But
is chicken wing? The chicken wing?
Yeah.
Is that good?
Yeah. And but getting the takeaway way outside, but which he's fixing. But
is he?
No, but anyone getting on the tour, I like have to respect their mental approach to golf. For sure. But like, I don't know. There's also like, just think about it like a normal distribution. Like some guys are going to like contend and just by random probability lose and they'll be on the far end of the normal distribution, like bell curve that appear as chokers. But like in reality, 3 or 5 of these guys are just going to survive as such. And just so happens to be them doesn't mean there's like a predictive flaw in their
heart. And then you have Tony Finau and he breaks.
Don't do it.
But no, generally speaking, I think you're right. Again, Morikawa, I mean, dude, the guy's fucking amazing. So it's not like I'm ever going to fade him. But there is a world where you can make a narrative to do so. I guess that was my point.
Yeah.
So anything else, guys?
We do want to do like 2 minutes on this question. Are you guys changing anything with the no fans? Some people – I strongly disagree. People are saying that that hurts Bombers because the trample down rough. I think having like stronger rough helps Bombers actually. I think that what people miss is the big advantage in bomb and gouging is that the penalty of being in the rough is not given to an average rough player. Players with speed are a selection of players that are better out of rough. A, they're hitting a higher left or club, but B, speed help. Like the whole issue with rough is not being able to spin it or control
it. Yeah, they can spin it.
Because you have speed, you're able to spin it. So.
Yeah.
I think longer rough is actually.
I'm not considering it one bit.
I'm not changing it either. I just disagree that people were like saying that.
Yeah, that seems great. You know, I think it's kind of interesting. Honestly, I got truth. Like, it was kind of fun seeing some of the spots that guys were in.
I loved it. Yeah. Like, Bryson going far on 17, that never happens with Grant.
Brooks hit one on either Thursday or Friday that was like left of fucking
half ranking.
Yeah. And it was on the other side of the cart path. It would never be there. And it was just kind of interesting watching that. I mean, if anything, it would just help. Yeah, I don't think it does. You know, I don't think it really does anything. These guys play golf all the fucking time without fans, and the trampled rough thing. I mean, I don't know. I think it probably helps. Like you said, I think it's probably helping the Bombers because their swing speeds are absolutely insane. If fucking Kuchar gets in the high ass rough, he's fucked. Like, the guy can't produce enough swing speed to get out of it. Like, he's hitting a knuckleball that's trampling. Like, he's got, you know, he's landing it in front of the green and it's rolling to the back. Whereas, like, Bryson is just like, okay, whatever, boom. And he's still getting it high enough with, you know, three lower clubs and Cooch. But, yeah, I'm not factoring it one fucking bit.
Yep, same.
I'm thinking another way. It's just because they hit it more offline. So when a bomber hits it offline, he's in another fairway, technically.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously that too.
On the right course.
Like Tiger, go way right. Go way right on 11.
I guess. Also on the right course, like, I don't think this fits in, but on the right course where you can hit it to another fairway and you might get a better angle. Mm-hmm. Not here. Yeah. But there are courses like that. I agree with what Kieran's saying.
And the other thing is, like, what do these people think? Do these people think that the place is crowded and packed on a Thursday? Like, have they been to a golf tournament? Like, it's not really the case. Yeah. Like,
people's perceptions of golf tournaments and players is so shaped by what's on TV.
It's crazy.
Like, less than 10% of what.
Yeah, it's like, okay, Sunday, are there a bunch of players? Even at the Heritage, you're not going to, you know, without Tiger, it's not going to be like, you know, 7, 8, 9 rows deep in player of fans. It's going to be, you know, on Thursday and Friday. I mean, you can almost get around and not have to even, you know, be able to be from here to the, you know, you can touch a player, you know. So I think that, you know, that seems really ridiculous.
They do show up at this course. This is like a big deal for
the area.
Yeah, Harbortown, you know, Charleston,
wherever they are. Oh, like, so you've played here then, Kieran, right?
I just know that maybe Kieran.
Nice. I would love that. That'd be so fun. We're gonna have to hit up our boy Will Brinson and get
the whole Carolinas. You gotta go,
man. You can just go to Hilton and drive up to Pinehurst. It's like 6 hours. Yeah. It's nothing, man.
He was on the way. Oh, Little Beach.
It's amazing. Sounds great. Well, on that note, I just go to sleep with that mental image of those courses.
Sweet dreams, buddy.
I love it. Hey, man, I appreciate you coming on, bro. That was a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Barry, Kieran, thank you so much for assisting us this week. That was a fantastic, informative podcast. I'm proud of us.
Absolutely, boys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, buddy.
Okay. That being said, thanks for tuning in. Y'all know the routine. Like, subscribe, share, repeat. We going for a six-peat in this B-word. Let's get it.
We out. Hey.
This is it. What? Luchini pouring from the sky. Let's get rich. What?